Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Father, I ask you for open hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us a deeper understanding of your word. Father, I pray that you would cause us to see truths that we have not seen. Lord, I pray that this morning that each and every one of us would apply the word of God in our lives. Lord, that it would be life-changing truth to us. And so, Lord, we just receive it as such in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there was a group of high school students who were given a quiz about the Bible, and here were some of their answers. One said the New Testament was written by Matthew, Mark, Luther, and John. One said Eve was created from an apple. One said Noah's wife was Joan of Arc. One said the fifth commandment is humor thy father and mother. And one said the seventh commandment is thou shalt not admit adultery. I don't know if those are really true or not, but certainly there is a lot of ignorance of the Bible in our country today. George Barna conducted a survey of Christians, and I want you to note, Christians, all right? This was a survey of Christians, and amongst other things, here's a couple of things he discovered about their knowledge of the Bible. 48% could not name the four Gospels. 60% could not name five of the Ten Commandments. Now, if that's you this morning, you're sitting there thinking, can I name five? I'm not going to call on you. And please don't take this that you should feel condemned in some way. Certainly not. But I tell you that we need to hear the challenge this morning to dig into God's Word. We need to hear the challenge this morning to hunger and thirst after God's Word, to go back to God's Word. For some of us, to go to it for the first time, really. But I tell you, as Christians, we need to know not just half, not just five. We need to know what the Ten Commandments are. We need to know what the Bible tells us about our life and how God wants us to live. And you know, as scary as that may sound to some of you, that over half of Christians in our society today cannot name five of the Ten Commandments, I just want you to think about it. Scary. And yet, the truth is that amongst the body of Christ, you can see that so readily, so prevalent, that people don't really know the Bible anymore. Many consider the Word of God to just be outdated, but it declares itself that it will stand forever. A lot of people think it's just a dead book, but it declares itself to be alive. It's a living Word. Many people think that it's just words on a page. But the Bible declares itself that it is powerful. A lot of people think that it's irrelevant. You know, that maybe at some point in time that it spoke to the issues of the day, but, you know, in our day and time, it's just not relevant anymore. And yet, the Bible tells us that it judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And you know, that is so true that in every person who will hear the Word of God with an open heart, it will speak into your heart. It will judge. It will discern the thoughts and the intents of your very heart. I want to challenge you today to look at the Word of God with fresh eyes. And what I mean by that is whether you are a student of the Word and you've been studying it for many years, I want to challenge you to go to the Word and your time with the Lord and just look at it like you've never read it before. Because, you know, sometimes we can just kind of get in a rut where we say, oh, well, I know that verse and I know that verse. Yeah, I know what that says. No, we need to go and allow the Holy Spirit to bring fresh truth and fresh understanding and revelation to us through the Word of God. And if you have never really studied the Bible, never really dug into God's Word, maybe you said, well, I don't understand it, or I just don't get it. I want to challenge you to change your attitude, to go to the Word of God with fresh eyes, with a new expectancy that God will speak to me through His Word, that there is something here for me, that God will help me to understand the Bible. I want to challenge you today to love the Word of God, that we might say with the psalmist in Psalm 119:97, he says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." He says, "I love your law." I want to ask you this morning, do you love the Word of the Lord? Do you love the law of God? Do you meditate on it all day long? Now, you know, for most of us, that's raising the bar pretty high. But that's where we ought to be, that we could say with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love your word. I love your word so much that I think about it all day long." No, most of us are consumed. Our minds are consumed with all kinds of other things. Consumed with all of the entertainment of the day and all of the stuff that's going on in the world around us. But how we ought to love His Word and make room for it, make it priority in our life. And I want to challenge you this morning to hunger for the Word of God. Jesus said, Matthew 4:4, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." By every word of God. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Now listen, He quoted those words from Scripture. He quoted those words to Satan after he'd been on a 40-day fast, and Satan came and tempted him and said, "If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And Jesus said, a man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And yet so many people are so consumed with their job, so consumed with making a living, putting bread on the table. You say, "Well, preacher, don't you think that's important?" I sure do. The Bible says that a man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. And you know, now, I want you to understand, I've been in the place where I didn't have full-time employment. But I was also, while I was in that place, I was doing the very best I could. And God made a way. God took care of me and took care of my family. But the Bible makes it clear that, yes, you do have to be responsible. See, the Christianity doesn't teach irresponsibility. It teaches responsibility, that you do take care of your family. But most people in our country are so consumed, not only with putting bread on the table, but with having so much stuff. We're so consumed with running after pleasure. Well, it's our constitutional right, the right to the pursuit of happiness. And we're running after happiness and running after pleasure. We got all these hobbies and all this entertainment all the time, the TV and the internet and all kinds of sports activities. And we think we got to have all that. We got to have that 40-channel cable with the 300 different football games and all. Oh, if we would love the Word of God like that. I want to tell you something. None of that will truly satisfy. None of that is what will really and truly sustain you. Jesus said, "Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And all this other stuff that people are running after and consumed with, it won't satisfy. It won't fill you up. It'll just leave you empty. No, we need to hunger for the Word of God. It's the Word of God that sustains us spiritually. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They're not dead words. They give life to your spirit. So many don't really study the Bible. They leave that for somebody else to do. And I want to challenge you this morning to change your attitude. If that's you, that you leave that for somebody else to do, I want to tell you something. You're eating somebody else's leftovers. You're eating somebody else's leavings. You hear what I'm saying? You need to go to the Scripture for yourself and let God speak to you. Give God the opportunity to speak to you. I read a story about a family that went on vacation, and they went to Tampa, Florida. And while they were there, they saw all of the Florida, all of the orange trees, the orange groves everywhere, just oranges everywhere. So they stopped at a little breakfast restaurant and they ordered breakfast, and they thought, "Well, we want to try some of that fresh Florida orange juice." Y'all pray for me. We'll get it out. The Holy Spirit just have to make it good before it gets to your ears, right? Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit's able to communicate to hearts in spite of me. But anyway, they wanted to try some of that fresh Florida orange juice. And so with their order, they said, "We want some orange juice." And the waitress said, "Well, I'm sorry, but you can't have orange juice this morning because our machine is broke. And the dad just kind of thought, what in the world? How can you not have orange juice? There's oranges everywhere. How can we not have orange juice? Because they had become so dependent upon that machine, they didn't even know how to make orange juice anymore without the machine. What is he talking about? I'm talking about that most Christians don't even know how to go to the Word of God and get a truth, get a promise from God for themselves, understand the Bible for themselves without somebody hand-feeding it to them and telling them this is what it means. I tell you, church, every believer, every Christian needs to read the Bible and study the Bible for themselves and understand the Bible for themselves. See, we can all learn and grow from the teaching of others. In fact, that's one of the things that we do in our growth groups. As we study the Bible together, we all learn and grow from one another. None of us has all truth. None of us has it all together. And certainly we learn and grow from one another. But that doesn't take the place of us personally studying the Bible and receiving from God's Word ourselves. That doesn't take the place of us reading the Word of God, allowing God, giving God the opportunity to speak to us through His Word. Oh, how we need that. You know, like most of you parents, there was a time when my kids would come home from school and we'd be sitting around the dinner table and I'd say, well, what'd y'all learn at school today? And the normal answer is, nothing. And we hope that that wasn't really the truth, that they were just saying they didn't learn anything of any significance. Probably, in that sense, they were telling the truth, because much of what they were learning is insignificant for life. And yet, the Word of God, young people, let me tell you something. The Word of God will always prove to be significant in your life. You might study algebra. You might study, well, I'm not going to say English because you might need that someday. You might study all kinds of science and even history that you think is irrelevant, that you'll never use. How will I ever use this? I'm just learning this to get past the test. But you see, everything that you learn from the Word of God, every truth that you get from the Word of God, at some point the Holy Spirit will use that in your life. He'll bring it to your remembrance at the time that you need it. There'll never be a time that you study God's Word that it's just irrelevant, that it's insignificant. No, the Bible is full of truth for life. You know, all of us are students in the school of life. We're all learning things. Whether you realize it or not, or whether you're learning the right things or not, we're all learning something. You know, there's a lot of ways you can learn. Most of us go to the school of hard knocks at some point. Till we figure out there's a better way to learn. Some people never do. But, you know, a lot of times people think that learning from experience is the best way. Listen, there's a lot of people that learn the wrong things from experience. We're supposed to be disciples of the Lord. To be a disciple means to learn a way of life. We are, in a sense, the Lord's students. We are learning from Him how to live life the way that God wants us to. Now, some of us might not be very serious students. Some of us might not do too well on a test. I'm telling you, there is a test. The test is called life. You know, it's real common in this day and time for people, when young people go to college, a lot of times they're just undecided about their major. They're not sure what they want to do. They're not sure what they ought to study, so they're just undecided. And then there are many also that start off with one major, and then the next semester they change to another major, and then the next semester another major. But I want to tell you, as a Christian in the school of life, you need to know that you got a major in the Word of God. I'm not talking about college. I'm talking about in the school of life. That all of us need to understand that if we're going to be successful in life, if we're going to be blessed, and if we're going to achieve the things that God wants us to do, we got to major in the Word of God. It's not an elective. That's a required course for life, let me tell you. We need to learn to study the Bible for ourselves every day. We need to have time in God's Word and allow Him to speak to our heart, allow Him to show us and instruct us in life. A lot of believers say it would be great if the Bible were taught in school. In fact, people rant about it. We need the Bible in our schools. And they don't even read it in their home. We need prayer in schools, and they don't even pray at home. Listen, church, we do need the Bible, but we need to start with it in the home. If you want to know why it's not in the school, it's because people aren't reading it in the home. We need to dig into the Word of God. It's not enough to just have it on the shelf. We need to get it into the self. Amen? We got to get it down inside of us where we're living it every day. And that doesn't happen just from hearing somebody else preach. Doesn't happen just from reading a book once in a while. No, we need the Word of God ourselves. We need to daily feast upon God's Word. And you know, you don't have to read chapters and chapters and chapters, but you need to get a hold of a scripture, of a principle, of a truth each and every day that God can speak to your heart, that you can meditate upon, that will change your life. Amen. See, it's the Word of God that will bring faith in your heart. Most of us have a faith deficit. We're like the disciples. Jesus was all the time saying things to them like, "Where is your faith? Why is it you have no faith? Oh, ye of little faith." And today in our society, amongst Christians, there is so little faith. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" There's so little faith. Faith for salvation. Faith that, yes, I believe in God. And faith that, yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin. But so little faith to believe God for miracles and to believe God to move and to work in our lives and in our world. Why? Listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That word hearing there, it just means receive, to receive. So when we receive the Word of God, faith comes. Faith comes by receiving, and that receiving by the Word of God. It's when you open your heart to the Word of God that then faith comes in your heart. This society that we live in, we're just bombarded with all kinds of media all the time. It's all around us, everywhere you go. You know, you can't ever get away from it, really. You'd have to really try hard, because you get in your car and you got the radio, you got the billboards going by, you go to your own house and sitting there in your house, the TV's going, the radio, the internet, bringing all kinds of things into your home, and we're just surrounded by media all the time. Can you imagine even a couple of hundred years ago? They didn't have any of that. You sat in your house, it was quiet. You went out in the field, it was quiet. You rode your horse to the market, it was quiet. There weren't any billboards, wasn't any radio. No, none of that was going on. And even in that society, even in Jesus' day, there were people that struggled with faith. Let me tell you, how much more, when we have all of this stuff coming at us every day, how much more do we need to daily spend time in God's Word, to daily build and strengthen our faith? Listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. If you're struggling in your faith, not only, I'm not just talking about to believe in God, I'm talking about if you're struggling in your faith to believe God for healing, if you're struggling in your faith to believe God to take care of a particular need in your life, maybe a financial need or a need in your family, if you're struggling in your faith, you need to feed your spirit the Word of God. That's where faith will come from, because our faith is based upon what God has said. It's through the Word of God that we build our faith and strengthen our faith. It's through the Word of God that we can know Him. Listen, Jesus said in John 17:3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It's one of my favorite scriptures because there's so much truth and so much revelation there. You know, Jesus tells us very plainly that eternal life is not going to heaven and sitting on a cloud. eternal life. And some people get, you say eternal life and people picture going to heaven and being on the clouds forever with the Lord. That's not what eternal life is. Jesus tells us very plainly what eternal life is. It's knowing the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. By the way, eternal life is not the same thing as eternal existence. Everybody's going to be somewhere for eternity. No, you receive eternal life when you are born again. When you know him in an intimate personal relationship, then you have eternal life. But listen, how can we really know him? Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And I tell you, it is through the Word of God that we can know the one true God. See, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God. Because there's a lot of people in our day and in our society today who just make God, create God in the image they want him to be. They create God in the image of man. And I want to tell you, you can't know him that way. You got to know the one true God. And the only way that you can really know the one true God is through the Word of God. It tells us who he is. It tells us what he's like. You know, I like to use this illustration, this example. If a young man was wanting the attention and affection of a certain young lady, and somebody gave him her diary, do you think that he wouldn't, with excitement, begin to read that diary to find out what she likes and doesn't like, what her dreams and desires are? But how many of us fail to have that kind of excitement about reading the Word of God? That it tells us what he is like. It tells us what his heart is. It tells us what he wants and what pleases him and displeases him. And I tell you, if we want to know God, then we go to the Bible. As it tells us, it's an autobiography. He tells us about himself and who and what he is. It tells us that he is the creator. It tells us that he is Almighty God. It tells us that he is holy, that he is light, that he is truth. It tells us that he is our shepherd and our guide. It tells us that he's our defender and our fortress, our strength. Listen, on and on and on, the scripture tells us who God is. If you want to know the one true God, then you go to the Word of God. It's the Word of God itself that is God. You know, that statement just throws a lot of people for a loop. I'm talking about Christian people. They don't even begin to understand it. But John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And that just blows some people's theology right out of the water. But let me tell you, John 1:14 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's talking about the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word, and he was there with the Father in the very beginning, and the Word was God. We need to understand that the Word of God, the Word was God. When you study the Bible, you're not just studying about God, you're studying God himself. And you need to look at it that way and realize what a privilege, what an opportunity that you have. I want to challenge you this morning. If you want to know God intimately, then you dig into his Word. You seek him in his Word, and you'll find him. It's through the Word of God that we can know truth. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, "If you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you continue in my Word, if you abide in it, if you dwell in it, another translation says, if you hold to my teaching. You see, it's as we dig into the Word of God, we hold on to it, we abide in it, then we really are his disciples. But there's something else that happens. He says, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let me tell you how Satan binds people up. It's always through lies and deceptions. Satan is the father of lies, and he always uses deception and lies. Many times, he'll even take the scripture, and he'll just add one little word, one little twist. He'll just tweak it a little bit to get somebody off track into a deception that can put them in bondage and ultimately destroy them. It's the Word of God that reveals truth to us. It's the Word of God that we can know the truth, Jesus said. If you hold to my teaching, if you continue in my Word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. how we need that kind of truth that sets free. When we're living in a day and a time when all of these voices all the time, all around us, all kinds of voices. You can get one answer over here. You turn and here's another answer and another answer and another answer. Everybody's got their own opinion. How can you know the truth? It's in the Word of God. If you continue in my Word, then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You see, you don't need to listen to a man. You don't need to look to somebody else. You need to look to the Word of God to find truth. Jesus said, John 17:17, your word is truth. A lot of people today just kind of make up their own version of the truth. People are so confused, don't know which way to go. They don't even know which way is up. I've never had the opportunity to do this, but they tell me that when a diver goes down 100 or 200 feet, that because of the weightlessness and because of the diffusion of light, that it can be disorienting and they can't tell which way is up. And sometimes it fools them because they feel like this way is up, but it's not. But the rule is they can always trust their bubbles. If they just go by their bubbles, the bubbles are always going to go up. But they say it's very strange that sometimes when they get confused and disoriented, they're just sure that this way is up, even though the bubbles are going a different way. But they just have to remember, follow the bubbles, no matter how you feel, no matter which way seems right, you follow the bubbles. You see, we need to understand that the Word of God will always lead us the right direction. Doesn't matter how you feel. Doesn't matter which way seems right. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Doesn't matter what seems right. No matter what other people are saying, you just follow the bubbles. You just follow the Word of God, and it will always show you which way's up. Amen. It'll always show you the way out. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it doesn't matter how dark things are around you or what you're going through. If you look to the Word of God, you'll find truth that will show you the right way. It'll help you to make the right decisions. As we look to the Word of God, we find answers to life's questions. All the voices and ideas and choices and things that come our way, it's the Word of God that will show you what to do. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. I believe we're living in the last day. I believe we're living in the day that scripture is fulfilled. That people, according to their own lust, their own desires, they look for teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. We're living in that day. And let me tell you, church, we need to hold to the truth of the Word of God. Anything else will ultimately bind you up and hinder your walk with Christ. We don't need teachers who will just modify the Word of God to fit the philosophies of the day. No, we need the truth of God's Word. And I'll tell you, as a preacher, I want to take this charge. I want to receive this charge that I'm going to preach the Word no matter what. I'm going to preach the truth no matter what. And you know, that's what we need, church. We need to hold to the truth. We don't just need somebody to tell us jokes and stories and tell us what we want to hear. We need the truth of the Word of God. And sometimes the Word of God just brings such joy and such victory, and we just say, amen, yeah. And then sometimes the Word of God comes and we say, oh me. And it corrects us. Because we haven't arrived yet. We need correction. We need instruction in righteousness. It shows us what we need to do different in our life. And it's not always easy. It doesn't always tickle the ears. But it's always just what we need. And so I challenge you this morning. Look to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. Cherish it and love it in your life. And you know, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He guides us into truth. And the Word of God itself is truth. And we can't understand the Scripture apart from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us that understanding. He opens the eyes of our heart that causes us to understand the truth of God's Word. You can't approach the Bible with a carnal mind and expect God to work in your heart through it. No, we have to humble ourselves, open our hearts to the Lord, and humbly ask Him to speak to us, to show us truth. But like the psalmist, we say, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. We need to understand that this is not a book that you go to and you look for something that you can get somebody else with. I'm going to straighten them out. See, a lot of us, we approach the Word of God like it's for somebody else. It's for you. Some people even come to church with that attitude. Yeah, get them, preacher. Yeah, preach that love. They need to be more loving. Tell them. See, it doesn't work that way. It's always for you. But we need to understand that it's the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes. And so every time we go to the Scripture, every time we pick it up to read it, we need to remember that we've got to trust the Holy Spirit to give us insight and understanding, that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that we might know Him better. Not so we can get some ammo to use against somebody else or... You know, that's the way the Pharisees were. They just used the Word of God and abused it. But rather, it is to speak to our heart and life. It is to change us and transform us. And if we'll allow the Holy Spirit, He will do just that through the Word of God. He'll tell us what His will is. He'll tell us how we're to treat one another. You see, it's through the Word of God that we know what we're supposed to do, what God wants us to do. A lot of people say, oh, well, I wish I knew what the will of God was in this situation. Here, right here, is more of the will of God than you'll ever manage to complete in your lifetime. Written down for you, He tells you so much of what He wants you to do and not to do. He tells us what His will is. And you know, I found that when we are earnestly, sincerely trying to do what God tells us to do, He shows us what to do even in the smallest choices of life. He tells us how we're to handle our money, tells us how we're to treat our family, tells us what pleases Him, tells us, He even tells you what your attitude ought to be. I don't know if I like that. Tell me, well, I will have a bad attitude if I want to have a bad attitude. No, He tells us how we're to live and how we're to act, how we're to talk to one another. It's all right there in the Bible. It tells us what'll get us in trouble. It tells us how we can be blessed. We got to get the Bible off the shelf and into ourselves. When you read the Word of God, you got to be constantly saying, it's talking to me. It's talking about me. This is for me. There's something here that I need to know. Something here that I need to understand. There's something here that I need to apply in my life. You know, a few years back, I know there was a Bible, some people came out with a Bible where you could send in your name and they would put your name in the Scripture over and over again. Now, that may be going to a little bit of an extreme, but you know what? The idea is right, that we need to understand that it's for every one of us. And when you read it, when you study it, there's a reason that God has that verse there. There's a reason that that principle is there. And you know, if you start off reading in the begets about who beget who, or you start off reading some of the Leviticus ceremonial law, There may be some things that you don't get a lot of revelation about. There's something there, but, you know, for most believers, you know, a lot of the time you go read those begets and you go say, I don't know what that was about. But let me tell you something. When you read the book of Genesis and you're reading about those heroes of faith, all those great stories of miracles that God did, and you're reading Psalms and about the David wrote and other psalmists, the ups and downs of life and the things that they went through and how God always came through for them. When you read Proverbs that gives such wisdom into every facet of life, you just read one chapter of Proverbs, you'll get enough truth, enough principles from the Word of God to just totally revolutionize your life. You start reading those Proverbs about wisdom and how to live life, it'll change you. And then you read the Gospels about the life of Jesus and what He did as He walked this earth. You read the book of Acts and how the Holy Spirit worked through the church. And you read all those epistles written to the church to tell Christians how to live the Christian life. When you read those things, I tell you, you will find revelation and truth and understanding. It'll come alive to you if you just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. You see, people that don't want to read the Bible, people that don't want to study the Bible, people that would rather just entertain themselves in front of the idiot box. TV preaching, can you believe it? He'll be clothesline preaching next. I'm just telling you, listen, I'm not preaching against the TV. I'm preaching for the Word of God. And I know as well as many of you know that we have replaced the Word of God with all this entertainment and all this junk. Oh, how we need the Word of God. How we need the Bible. How we need to hunger for the Bible. So many Christians struggling just to live for God, just to make it through the day. So many Christians have destruction in their life. And, you know, all of us have storms. I think I preached that last week, didn't I? All of us have storms. But why is it that so many Christians are defeated? I tell you, for the lack of knowledge. It's what it says in Hosea, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. We need to love the Word of God. We need to hunger for it. We need to seek the truth of God's Word. Got to get it down inside of us. Avail ourselves of all that's available to us, all the promises of God. You see, how can you know what God has promised? Do you realize the thousands and thousands of promises that are available to you? Well, let me tell you what the attitude of most Christians is. Well, I believe in God. I believe in salvation. Praise the Lord. I got John 3:16. That's good enough. That's great. John 3:16 is wonderful. But how much you're missing out. How much you're not availing yourself of that God offers to you. All of the riches of His Word. And it's every bit for you. Promise after promise after promise. So, well, I don't know if that's really for me. I don't know if those things are, you know, maybe that promise was just for them and not for me. We need to know the answer to the promise is yes. God doesn't make promises that He can't keep or that He won't keep. 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20, as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. See, God is faithful. He keeps His Word. There's too much of this yes and no message. Well, maybe He will, maybe He won't. And as long as we have this mentality, maybe He will, maybe He won't, we don't know. That's not faith. That's not trusting God. That's not believing God. Now, I understand that we're going to trust God no matter what. Like the Hebrew boys, when they're thrown in the fiery furnace, they said, we believe our God is able to deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we will not bow. Now, that's faith and that's trust. But what we need to understand is that so much of the time, the devil uses the reasoning of this world, you see, the rudiments, the teachings of this world. He uses the teachings of religion to undermine the faith of people. Well, yes and no, yes and no. No, the answer is always yes. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. The answer is yes. We say, oh, but he's just talking about salvation, or he's just talking about maybe a couple of different promises. Well, we get that pretty quick here. Verse 20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. No matter how many promises God has made, how many? Some people say 8,000. I don't know exactly how many promises are in this book, but I know it's loaded from Genesis to Revelation. There is promise after promise after promise, and by the Holy Spirit, when you receive faith to believe for that promise, let me tell you, the answer is yes. He says no matter how many. Well, maybe for 10 or 20 of them. No matter how many. No matter how many. Somebody needs to get that. How many? No matter how many promises God has made, the answer is yes in Christ. And through Him, the amen is spoken by us. You see, we just need to get on board and agree with God and say amen. Here's the promise. The answer's yes. We say amen. And yet, so many people just leave those promises there and don't avail themselves. It's like having $1 million in the bank and living like a pauper. Don't have food to eat. Can't buy your kids clothes. You got $1 million in the bank. Promise after promise after promise that's available to us, and yet we don't even know we have it. We don't even know it's for us. And the Bible tells us very plainly that no matter how many promises there are, the answer is yes in Christ Jesus. You see, God knew. He knew 2,000 years ago when He inspired men by the Holy Spirit to write the Word of God. He knew that there would be people in our generation that said, oh, that's just for back then. And that's why when He was talking about the Holy Spirit, He said, this promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and for as many as the Lord our God shall call. For everybody that believes, this promise is for everybody. That's why He said right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that as many promises as God has made, the answer is yes. Now I want to challenge you this morning to search the Scripture. There are promises that apply to you and your situation that God has for you. And don't overlook the conditions of those promises. See, sometimes we just want to focus on just the promise. You need to remember that most of those promises have a condition. You want to claim long life? You want to claim the blessings of the Lord? Let me tell you how you start, young people. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well for you and you may live long on the earth. You see, so many of the promises of God, they have a condition. There's an expectation. You see, because if you dishonor your parents, you're bringing destruction in your life. Search the Scripture for the promises. Find out what the conditions are. Realize that God is speaking to you through every promise. It's for you. There's something there for you. And I just challenge you to lay hold of the precious promises of God this morning. Every one of them's for you. Listen, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? And that those are rhetorical questions. Yes, He does act. Yes, He does fulfill. Every promise is true. And here's the amazing part, is they're available to us. Promises of His protection. Oh, that His angels encamp around about those that fear Him. That He will bear us up lest we dash our foot against a stone. He's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, on and on and on. Promises of His protection, that He's with us all the time. A promise of His presence. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll not fear, for Thou art with me. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with us. He's promised us that He'll be Emmanuel, God with us. Promises of His provision, that He'll supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. That no matter what our need is, Jesus, He's Jehovah Jireh. He'll provide what we need. He'll make a way where there is no way. He's promised us exceeding great and precious promises that we are partakers of His divine nature. You know, sometimes the devil wants to beat people down, make them think maybe even they're not born again. But the Bible says that whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of God, is born of Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Verse 21, he says, that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You see, there's exceeding great and precious promises that tell you who you are as a child of God. You need to search the Scripture and find out who you are, and you need to find out who He is. Amen. But so many great, precious promises for us as a child of God that apply to us and speak to us. And let me tell you one more thing about the promises of God. He will fulfill every one of them. Joshua 21:45, the Bible says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Now, did every person, every one of the children of Israel, did they see those promises fulfilled in their life? No. Many of them died in the wilderness. But God kept His word to those that believed. God kept His word to those that acted on their faith and that obeyed Him. Not one of His promises failed. 1 Kings 8:56, it says it, praise be to the Lord who has given rest to His people Israel, just as He promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises He gave through His servant Moses. And I want to tell you today that in eternity, they'll say the same thing about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, that not one of His promises failed. We might have failed to appropriate them. We might have failed to believe and trust God. We might have failed to obey. But not one of His promises will fail. Hebrews 10:23, let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And I want to close with this passage from Psalms 19:7-11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. I challenge you today, go to the Word of God. Love it. Hunger for it. Long for it. Search the Scriptures for truth, that the Holy Spirit would speak to you. It will change your life. It is a living, powerful word that will speak to your heart and change your life forever. It'll show you how to live, how to be blessed. It'll show you how to help somebody else, how to minister to somebody else. I tell you, the Word of God has the answers. Even the simple, even the simple can get it. See, the devil's always trying to convince people it's not for them. Oh, I don't understand it. I can't get it. Even the simple can be made wise by the Word of God.